Parikshit cursed by a Brahmana boy. This is called the Paramahamsa stage. Hamsas or swans accept only milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Similarly, those who accept the service of the Lord instead of Maya's service are called the Paramahamsas. They are naturally qualified with all the good attributes, such as pridelessness, freedom from vanity, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, respectability, worship, devotion, and sincerity. All these godly qualities exist in the devotee of the Lord spontaneously. Such Paramahamsas who are completely given up to the service of the Lord are very rare. They are very rare even amongst the liberated souls. Real non-violence means freedom from envy. In this world, everyone is envious of his fellow being. But a perfect Paramahamsa, being completely given up to the service of the Lord, is perfectly non-envious. He loves every living being in relation with the Supreme Lord. Real renunciation means perfect dependence on God. Every living being is dependent on someone else because he is so made. Actually, everyone is dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But when one forgets his relation with the Lord, he becomes dependent on the conditions of material nature. Renunciation means renouncing one's dependence on the conditions of material nature and thus becoming completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Real independence means complete faith in the mercy of the Lord without dependence on the conditions of matter. This Paramahamsa stage is the highest perfectional stage in Bhakti Yoga, the process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Mukam karoti jashiram tam kumana hegirim yatripatamaham bandeshi jivantyantarinam panchakaka dhirvis chakra kasindhiya evacha patitanam bhavanire vashnashikrindamu namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama So this text and Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about the position of the Paramahamsas, those who have completely attached themselves to the process of devotional service, having no attachment, either gross or subtle, to material nature. Srila Prabhupada starts, of course, by speaking about self-control. How only a self-controlled person can actually achieve real liberation. Now, sense control doesn't just mean the gross type of sense control, controlling the five senses, but also control of the mind. The mind is subtle, of course, it is subtle matter, so therefore it also has to be controlled. So the truth is in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about self-control, or another name for sense-control, bhakti. It takes place in two different ways, through devotion and through practice of regulation. So in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you see Krishna is explaining how a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through the very principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So therefore this self-control is actually required to show Krishna that we are actually ready and able to accept his full mercy. But without controlling our senses, without regulating our entire existence, body, mind, and words, it becomes difficult for us to organically and naturally hear about Krishna. As Prabhupada mentions later on, which I'll speak about, that naturally by the process of bhakti yoga, one's senses become controlled because we are given proper engagement, that we cannot forcibly try to control the senses. The senses, generally the mind and the five organ senses, they need to be engaged in the process of bhakti. They cannot be forcibly curbed. And how we measure, how we see that these senses indeed are naturally engaged in their original propensity, we see that we lose this attachment to the workings of material nature, and we gain attachment to the workings of Krishna's internal energy. So that is the proof that we are gradually controlling our senses, that there is detachment that is happening. It's not that we just want to attach, or just simply detach, but we have to detach ourselves from the modes of material nature by attaching ourselves to hearing the topics of Krishna. So by the practice of regulation, Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that one may try to externally control the senses by breathing processes, by performance of different asanas, by mental concoction. You may try to control the senses, but Prabhupada explains that there is every chance of fall down, because we should understand that the senses are actually meant to engage in the service of Rishikesh. And Rishikesh, the master of the senses, is Krishna. So unless our senses are linked or directly connected to the source, to Rishikesh, there cannot be a firm conviction for the mind of the senses to always stay regulated, to always stay fixed. There is every chance of fall down. Prabhupada makes this point very, very firmly in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And through devotion, of course, we get to control our senses and engage our senses in the process of bhakti. Krishna speaks in the section called Karma Yoga in Bhagavad Gita, action in Krishna consciousness, of course. If a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins Karma Yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. So we see the superiority of naturally engaging the senses in Krishna's service as opposed to forcibly or through our mental circulation trying to control the senses by other processes that are inferior. So bhakti in essence is superior in terms of attaining understanding of the absolute truth, but also in terms of attaining perfection by self-control. So not only is it obvious that through the bhakti process we get to understand who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is amongst all the different potencies, as we've been hearing, all the different incarnations, the different energies of Krishna. We understand Krishna is Stu Bhagavan Swayam, he's the Adi Purush. Not only that, but we also at the same time get to control our senses, and the proof of our perfection of sense and self-control is that we become detached from the affections of material nature, become detached from the gross and subtle contaminations, whether it's relations pertaining to the body, society, family, nation, etc. We become detached from that and we're re-established in our understanding of who is Supreme and what our relationship is with that Supreme Person. So in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, the acharyas are explaining how this process of engaging one's senses gradually bring about purification of the senses.
That
that by the process of devotional service, which basically means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of the senses. And when the spirit soul engages in this process of bhakti, by using the senses, one becomes free from material designation. We become free from the gross designation of gender, of sex, of occupation, of nationality. We become free from all those misconceptions just by engaging the senses in the devotional service of the Supreme Master of the Senses, Rishikesha. And simply by employing the senses in the service of that Rishikesha, that Supreme Lord, our senses become pure or purified. And that way we become self-controlled. And we cannot become attached to the Supreme Lord without being self-controlled. This is the opening line of the purport by Srila Prabhupada. And he also mentioned that those who are not self-controlled are given over to sense enjoyment. So we're either controlling our senses or our senses are not controlled. That is the gist of it. We choose whether to be controlled by the material energy, which is very, very influential. The material energy is very, very influential. It is very powerful when placed near the conditioned soul. Krishna explained that his energy, his dhyavi prakriti, is very difficult to succumb unless you attach yourself back to the service. Because it is Krishna's energy. Krishna is very, very potent, he's very powerful. Dhyavi hei esha guna mai mama maya, it is my maya, it is my energy, and it will bewilder. Right, and different great souls have always wanted to see Krishna's bewildering potency. They've always wanted to see Krishna's energy. Markandeya Rishi wanted to see how exactly the Supreme Lord bewilders the living entity through his potency of time, through his potency of destruction of the cosmos, through his creation process. Lord Shiva himself wanted to see the bewildering form of the Lord in the form of Mohini Murti. And so Krishna, he is all potent, he is extremely powerful. Even his inferior energy, his Maya Shakti, it is very powerful. Although it is inferior, it is very powerful. We are Krishna's marginal energy, yes, but the marginal aspect means that we can become covered by Krishna's external energy. So if we're not self-controlled, if we're not attached to Krishna, we'll be given over to the sense enjoyment. We'll be attached to that which we are not. And that is how Srila Prabhupada defined Maya, that which is not. We become attached to that. So on the gross or subtle level, so Prabhupada explains that grand philosophical speculation, and this just doesn't mean the philosophers, the poets, the scientists, even any tiny insignificant jiva has his own philosophy about life, has his own philosophy how to act, how to do things. We speculate about things all the time. So even that has to be cut out. That is a sign of our lack of sense control when we speculate about what we should do or what the world is about, how we philosophize based on no scriptural foundation. That is a trick of Maya, that is strive for so-called speculation. And with that type of mentality, it is not possible to attach ourselves to Krishna. It is impossible because we are functioning under an inferior energy. So the Vedas are always pushing the conditioned souls not to go towards this path of darkness, but to go towards the path of light, to achieve actual, real self-control. So one has to be factually attached to the Supreme Lord through transcendental service to the Lord. Now Prabhupada says you have to be factually attached. Not just be attached, but factually we have to be attached, which means there has to be a really perfect understanding about the position of the Supreme Lord and our position and what our relationship is? Do we attach ourselves to someone that we know we can get some kind of security, some kind of fulfillment, some kind of clarity? That is who and what we attach ourselves to. So just in the previous day, someone gave an example that Krishna is pure. Apapa Vishudan, Krishna is so pure that although he comes into by his Dova impotency, although he manifests himself in the Ashavigraha, or he manifests himself in his different activities by killing demons, etc., he himself remains pure, he never becomes contaminated. Now what type of person do we know in material existence who can do that? That by their association, they purify us, but they always remain pure. They always remain fully self-controlled. Now this quality of self-control in Krishna, as discussed in the Nectar of Devotion, an example that is given is that, you know, Krishna is married to so many goddesses of fortune, and they're extremely beautiful, they're extremely attractive, but at the same time there are no gestures, there are no words, or there are no postures that they can perform that will bewilder the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is fully self-controlled. So this quality is present in the Supreme Lord, and it is present in us in minute quantity according to our level of purity. According to the jiva's level of purity, Nectar of Devotion explains that we are able to actually access the 50 qualities according to our level of purity. So the perfection of controlling our senses is Bhakti Yoga. And the highest state of Bhakti Yoga is what is being explained in the Paramahamsa stage. Srila Prabhupada also sometimes, when he speaks of the Paramahamsa stage, he speaks about the Uttama Adhikari. He starts mentioning the qualities of an Uttama Adhikari, how he is prideless, how he is non-envious, how he is always equally disposed. So, how and what is the proof that one is actually controlling their senses in Bhakti Yoga? That one can actually give up a bodily attachment. That is the proof. Prabhupada mentioned it here, that when one is able to give up bodily attachment or homely attachment, then we can actually become attached to the process of Bhakti Yoga, to Krishna. Now, giving up bodily attachment, giving up homely attachment, doesn't necessarily pertain to householders. It pertains to everyone, because we see this world as our home. We think it is comfortable. We have a nice body. It is not diseased as yet. It is not, you know, giving us trouble as yet. So we think it's great, it's comfortable. We do not want to change. We become conditioned to the situation, just as Lord Indra, in his form as a hawk, became conditioned to like that situation. And the demigods had to come and say, "You are Indra, you are the king of heaven. Why are you attached to this hawk's body?" So it is very easy for us to become attached and to become conditioned. It is very easy. It is very simple. It is a potency of mind. So we have to give up this false conception, this false notion, and bring ourselves and elevate ourselves by the process of Bhakti Yoga. As Srila Prabhupada speaks about this perfectional stage of sense engagement, engagement, and he defines that as Bhakti Yoga. So when you come to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, actually we're trying to perfect our engagement with the senses. We're trying to perfect our lives and become real Paramahamsas. Now even at that Paramahamsa stage, we can still go further and further in terms of engaging our senses in Krishna's service. So in Queen Kunti, in one of her prayers, explains how, you know, it is difficult in her state, of course, out of her humility. She explains how it is difficult for her as a woman to understand Krishna. But only the Paramahamsas or the transcendentalists, at least they can grasp a little bit. about Krishna. So Paramahansas are on these topmost platform where they are able to access the personality of Krishna because they are engaging their senses in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, that they are engaging and employing their senses in different relationships with Krishna. And by purifying those senses, they get rid of their bodily attachments, they get rid of their mental concoctions. Because, as the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasad Paya Bhakti Lata Bish, that the living entity has been wandering for countless births in this Brahmanda, in this material existence, taking this body, taking that body. So there's so much of conditioning that we have, thinking we're something that we're not. But by the mercy of Guru, by the mercy of Krishna, we get to a platform of accessing the process of devotional service, and our senses get purified. So by the mercy of Krishna, we get to know Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna's devotees, we get to be directed towards Krishna. So this type of Paramahamsa stage that Srila Prabhupada speaks about is very nicely explained in all different sections of the Bhagavatam with the different pastimes. And there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, maybe some of you might know, it's in the 6th chapter, and explains the mentality. One of the qualities of the Paramahamsa, which makes it easy for him to become non-envious, because out of all the qualities that Srila Prabhupada gave about the devotee or the Paramahamsa, topmost devotee, topmost bhakti yogi, who is engaged in devotional service, develops these good qualities or attributes, Srila Prabhupada focuses a lot on non-enviousness. Jitatmana prashantasya paratmana samahita shitoshna sukharukeshu tatamana aparmana yo. Jnana vijnana triptam kutosto vichendriya yukta yuchyate yogi samaroshtrasma kanchana. So, the first verse, Bhagavad Gita 6-7, says, for one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So basically, he sees with equal vision. Mahatma Suman Pratak Devam Prakritam Astara. He sees with equal vision. This is a Mahatma, this is a great soul. Jnana Vijnana Tsukdatma. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, as the same. So this equal vision is very important. A self-controlled person, his mind is tripta, which tripta means satisfied. And its satisfaction is coming from jnana and vijnana. This is explained in the Prabhupada, and also Abhijan Prabhu and Saridantami explain this very nicely. So before we actually situate the mind, or before we actually do anything with the mind, it has to be satisfied by jnana. We have to have knowledge about what to do, how to attach ourselves to Krishna, how to engage in the process of bhakti, of devotional service. My jnana and vijnana is highly essential, otherwise there's no foundation for us to fall back on. If we have no knowledge of what we're doing, there's no conviction, there's no motivation. So we stop, because the mind hasn't been given that engagement. The intelligence has not been given, hasn't been sharpened by knowledge. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport to 6a that before we actually, the mind gets a taste for jnana, and before that jnana matures into vijnana, it has to be beaten, just as a blacksmith beats metal on an anvil. But we have to keep training the mind to control itself. The mind is like a muscle and it requires training. The more you train the mind, the stronger it becomes. So the mind is a sense and it has to be engaged in Krishna's service. Another point Srila Prabhupada mentioned about the Mahatmas. He explained how they are non-violent. And of course, non-violence not only on the external platform, but non-violence meaning freedom from envy. Prabhupada explains non-violence to be freedom from envy. And he says only a real Paramahamsa can be non-violent. Only a Paramahamsa can be non-violent. Only one who bases intellect in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, in scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam, only that type of person can actually be non-violent. Now we understand in the beginning, Sri Krishna Goswami is explaining that the Bhagavatam is written for the Paramahamsa type of personalities, those who are only interested, who have one-pointed fixedness in understanding who the Supreme Person Krishna is. This is what these scriptures are for. And why is this type of person, why is a Paramahamsa the topmost person and Uttamadi Pari the topmost personality? Because they have all these amazing qualities that they understand the difference between matter and spirit. They see with equal vision, they see through the eyes of Shastra. They have developed this quality of Shastra Chakshush, that they see through Shastra, they see through hearing. They do not have to experience it. They do not have that type of intelligence. The type of intelligence that they have is that they see through hearing. And because of that, they are able to accept the position of Krishna. They are able to accept their position as servants of Krishna. They are always chanting Krishna's glories. They reside in Krishna's heart. They do not identify with their body because they have factual realization through application of the scientific process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. They have realized the difference between body and spirit, and they see all living entities as equal. Only such a type of person can actually be non-envious. If we do not see our intrinsic qualities, our relationship to Krishna, if we do not see that every living entity is directly connected to Krishna, we will still have this envious nature within the heart. And with this type of envy, we are able to hurt others, or to desire ways, or to design such a way that will not be conducive to the process of bhakti. Now later on, at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about real renunciation. And in different parts of the Bhagavatam, different parts of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see how Lord Chaitanya himself came to actually teach real renunciation. It was not a matter of changing. Renunciation does not belong to a certain ashram, or doesn't belong to a certain gender, etc. Real renunciation means depending on Krishna and renouncing our relationship with material conditions. It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada says material conditions or the conditions of material nature. Once we cut off that relationship, we're actually in the renounced order of life. We cut off the conditions of material nature, of cheating propensity, of the illusion propensity, of the fear, the anger, the vanity, the pride, the anger, the greed, the lust. We cut off those conditions because those conditions means we're still associating with material energy. Fear, hankering, lamentation, hankering and lamentation, that is what is sustaining ritual existence. We're either hankering for something that we do not have due to desires, material desires in the heart that are insurmountable, or we're lamenting for things that we think we should have got, but we should have achieved also due to unfulfilled desires, due to the emotive passion. The emotive passion actually fuels our ignorant state. We act passionately to sustain our emotive ignorance. Now, emotive ignorance means our body identification. It's not that most people are actually in the mode of passion, most people are actually in the mode of ignorance, but that passion is sustaining their ignorance. So indeed, when the Bhagavatam says Kali in the age of Kali is characterized by ignorance, it is true. The age of Kali is all about ignorance. So to maintain that ignorance, we act in passionate ways. So to cut off all these conditions that we've been depending on, gross and subtle, we have to be attached to the Supreme Personality of God through the process of bhakti. And when if we fail or if we restrict our association with Krishna, we cannot renounce anything. We cannot renounce this condition. We cannot renounce our dependence on material nature. Real renunciation means we become dependent on Krishna. That is real renunciation. False renunciation means we depend on our subtle mental speculations. We depend on our gross conceptions of life. That is false renunciation. That is bhoga tyag. The false renunciation that Arjuna displayed on the battle of Kurukshetra. He wanted then to become a yogi. But Krishna is instructing him, act like this. He said, no, I want to go to the forest. That is false renunciation. We're acting in accordance with our speculative ideas because we are not in knowledge. And as soon as the knowledge factor came, Arjuna picked up his bow and arrows and continued in devotional service. And that was his real renunciation. He renounced his conditions of material nature. And how did he do that? By completely depending on the mercy of Krishna. That is what Prabhupada says. Become completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. So that is what is being put forward. Maharaj Parikshit, he's being a topmost renounced person because he's now depending on the mercy of the Lord. He's not depending on anything else. Right? He has 7 days to live. Prahlad Maharaj did not depend on any other modus operandi. He didn't depend on any other way to try and free himself from the snakes, from the pigs, from the elephants, from the poison. By his process of smarana and thinking of Krishna, he was depending completely on the mercy of Krishna. That is real renunciation. This goes from his of Vrindavan, for the devotees who are in association with Lord Chaitanya. They were depending completely on the mercy of the Lord, showing that they have faith in the mercy of the Lord and that they do not have faith in material conditions. Haridas Thakur showed that his faith wasn't in the material conditions that he had. Being born in a Mohammedan family, he renounced all of that. And his faith was attached to the Supreme Lord. And the Lord, of course, was very merciful. So Lord Chaitanya was teaching this high stage of perfection in Bhakti Yoga, this renunciation by completely depending on the mercy of Krishna and nothing else. No mental speculation, no dry philosophical speculation of, you know, philosophizing this, that, etc. So basically in this text, before that we were hearing about the different potencies of Krishna, Krishna's Shaktis, the different sampradayas that one can follow and scrupulously be engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. And now we're hearing about how persons who detach themselves from material activities attach themselves to the lotus feet of the Lord by the process of bhakti. developing qualities like pridelessness, developing qualities like non-violence, non-enviousness, and completely attaching themselves to the lotus feet of Krishna. And by doing that, which is geared, which is fueled by self-control, control of the mind and the senses, one can achieve the highest state of Krishna consciousness, the Paramahamsa state. So this is what we're seeing by the example of Maharaj Parikshit, by the example of so many pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Thank you very much for information about it. Thank you.